Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Could make healthy sides like apple slices or carrots the default choice in a menu and make fries something customers have to request, which would hurt me deeply. I am a fry lover.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, like a slave on me. Here come Tuesday.
Eat as I say, not as I eat, says Michelle Obama. Perhaps the most hypocritical couple in the history of the presidency. Every time we see her, she's on vacation slurping an ice cream cone or eating fries. And then she's lecturing us on healthy choices in eating and grow a victory garden. Now she says she's a fry lover, but for the peons out there, give them carrot sticks. Let them eat carrot sticks, she says. Not the biggest problem on earth, just indicative of what we're facing in America. First Lady, I love French fries. Mr. Imam in New York, Mr. Mosque, the Imam guy, good imam, bad imam, good imam, bad imam, says one thing to us in English with Mr. Meek, Mr. Nice, Mr. Good, Mr. Interfaith Community Dialogue, and then he goes over and speaks in Arabic and says the exact opposite. Mr. Nice, Mr. Bad, Mr. Good Mosque, Mr. Bad Mosque. I am so sick and tired of this double talking crap. I wish to God we had leadership. I wish we had leaders to step up and say, you know what, stop your crap. You and your developers are a bunch of deadbeats. You're trying to steam up everyone into a war in this country. Take your mosque and shove it. You were offered more money for that site, and you rejected it, which means someone got money under the table. We're going to throw the federal books at you instead of throwing them at Sheriff Arpaio, who's trying to protect the Arizona people from the illegal aliens and the drug smugglers. But look what our government does. They go after a decent American sheriff in Arizona who's trying to do the correct thing, and they cover and they protect a mosque imam who's trying to turn the country into an inferno. But, you know, not my problem. I don't get paid to worry about this. It's your problem. It's your country, too. You do something about it. What do you want from me? We've had traitorous situations before, going back 40 years, Vietnam War, Jane Fonda. The news again. I didn't even call Jane Fonda a cougar. She's past being a cougar. She's an emaciated, traitorous vulture. She's coming out with a new video, apparently. An exercise video for the over-the-hill crowd. Remember what she did during the war? Had herself photographed seated on an anti-aircraft gun? Remember she made propagandist radio broadcasts in which she called our military men war criminals? You remember she said that our soldiers who were being tormented, their bones broken by the Vietnamese, were lying about being tortured. Ask John McCain if there was any torture by the wonderful sacred Asian torturers there in Vietnam. I'm so sick of these people. So here she is stretching and lunging and lifting weights in a disgusting, tight-fitting purple and black leotard. I mean, do you want to see a 72-year-old woman in leotards? That's like the old Lenny Bruce joke. She wears cotton panties with the days of the week on them, but you don't want to see them. I mean, leave me alone already. We're going to talk about that. So I'll get to good imam, bad imam on the Savage Nation. We'll get to whether or not you forgive Jane Fonda. We'll get to those questions on the French fried loving First Lady. We'll deal with sex addiction today because it's a big issue in America today with the pornography industry in control of the media, where virtually everything is secondary to the pornography industry. The fact is that if you go into a room by yourself in a relationship, you're a sex addict. You don't know that. They won't tell you that because they don't want you to stop buying the porn. But the fact is the government should crack down on pornography. But the problem is the government is pornography. The problem is the UN is pornography. The problem is everywhere you turn, it's run by pornographers. So we'll deal with sex addiction. And now that I've gotten the news stories and the commentary out of the way in the first 4 minutes of the show, I'm now going to tell you what I'm doing. So I took an airplane flight. Big deal. We all do. I left last Saturday, 9/11. We decided to fly a 9/11, figuring it'd be the safest day of the year to fly. And, of course, it was safe all around America, not just on our plane. I'm at the airport, a private jet port, with Teddy. And Teddy's relieving himself before the long flight. I see a big, burly man, like a Hemingway-type guy, but big. I mean big. I mean brawny. I mean each arm was the size of an Alaskan bear. Must have been in his mid-70s, but still, you know, powerful man. He comes over and he says, "What a cute dog! What a cute dog! What kind of dog is he?" So he says, I say, "A poodle." He says, "Is he Teddy?" "Yep." He said, "Michael, I've been a fan of yours for 20 years, and I look at him, and I see he's wearing a Cal T-shirt. That's University of California at Berkeley, my alma mater where I got my PhD. I said, "Well, I'm glad you like my dog, because I like your T-shirt." And he says to me, "Michael," he says, "third generation Californian, we're leaving. We're leaving here," he said. "We're moving to Wyoming." I said, "I know why. I know why. They speak English." He said, "Not only is English not the second language, it's the first language." He said, "No state taxes. English as a first language. The people are Americans. It's not overrun with illegal aliens. I'm moving to Wyoming." So I said to myself, who's going to be left in this damn state other than the illegal aliens, and who's going to support them? Do you know how many families I know are leaving California because of the taxation and the mismanagement by Schwarzenegger and Newsom and all these other criminal liars who are going to pretend they're going to change something in the state? You know that we pay 10.5% to 11% state income tax on top of federal tax? Do you understand any of this? You know the illegal alien leeches have destroyed this state? They've destroyed the schools. They've destroyed the hospitals. They've destroyed the courts. They've destroyed the jails. Like locusts, they've destroyed this great golden state. And so after the people like me leave this state, who is going to support them? You are, you schmuck. Because the illegal alien is going to be supported by the rest of America, the hardworking people of America, by the Democrats who are going to grant them amnesty so you can work your behind off to pay for their schools and their hospitals and their houses and their food. You don't like what I'm saying? Take a hike, my friend, because I like what I'm saying, and so do most people listening to me. So we fly across the country, longest flight of my life, forever. Long flight. I hate flying to begin with. There's no such thing as a good flight. I don't care if you're flying on Capricorn 1. It's horrible. Had a family barbecue I arranged. Wonderful family barbecue. Saw people I hadn't seen in 20 years. Got along with everyone. Not a bad note. It was really nice. So we had a wonderful chef, a family chef came up from Miami. Big guy, big Irishman, about 6'5", 6'6". But on the big long bone type, the type that New York cops used to look like. You remember when cops were big, 6'5", 6'6", Irishmen, before they became 4'9", illegal alien women who hardly speak English and can't lift a fire hose if they're in the fire department. And the minute there's a fire, they sue for they run out for a hydration break. Anyway, he was that kind of guy. His grandfather had been an Irish cop in New York. So as he's cooking, we're talking. This, talking about that. I love to watch people cook. He was busy with the assistant and preparing and this and that. I love that. And I'm drinking the water and the tea and getting ready early in the day. So I said, things you think things are bad. Some days I think things are bad. I said, but you know what? I remember what my ancestors went through. I said, try to think when there wasn't enough food in the family. He says, yeah. He says, I know. I said, think about what your ancestors did in Ireland. I said, when the potato famine hit, they were eating nothing, they had nothing to eat. And we complain that the sauce isn't right. It's not hot enough, right? We all forget what it was like for two generations ago, I said to him. Now he jumps the gun on me and he says, go back even further, Michael. He said, how about when we were prey? I said, you got me there. He got me there. He said, before we were starving, we had ancestors who were just prey running away from the predators. I said, it's not much different today. That's why many people are leaving for Wyoming. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back. Savage.
You could make make healthy sides like apple slices or carrots the default choice in a menu and make fries something customers have to request, which would hurt me deeply. I am a fry lover.
Come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll.
Sick of the hypocrisy. Big party week for the Obamas, according to The Hill. First Lady Michelle Obama and the Presidente. Big party week. Oh, yeah. Tonight, actually, it started about 35 minutes ago. Very important night for the Obamas. Collegiate star athletes to the White House, recognizing outstanding student athletes. Field hockey, lacrosse, and volleyball. I don't know if they have a special prize for college students in lying, but they're going to be there. And on Wednesday, the first couple puts on black tie, at least he does, for the annual Congressional Hispanic Caucus Institute Gala. Whites need not apply. Number of entertainers are being honored by the Obamas at the Congressional Hispanic Caucus Institute Gala, including Arturo Sandoval, never heard of him. Also participating at the festivities will be other panderers to the large and growing Hispanic caucus, including Senator Majority Leader Harry Reid, Socialist Democrat Nevada, and Speaker Nancy Pelosi, SD California, Socialist Democrat California, and New York City Mayor, Socialist Democrat Michael Bloomberg. Then they're back in formal wear on Saturday night for the Congressional Black Caucus. That's right. The Congressional Black Caucus is coming to town. So let's see, they got athletes Monday, they got Hispanic Caucus Wednesday, then they got the Black Caucus. Is there a white caucus in town? They need not apply. Affirmative action at the White House. Honorees at the dinner will include, they're calling him an actor and humanitarian, Harry Belafonte. Now, I want to tell you, Harry Belafonte has in his time given some of the stupidest speeches I've ever heard in my life. But they're calling him a humanitarian? Do we have any tape of Harry Belafonte? Play it.
Reference to being a house slave meant that you had opportunity once you were inside the master's house to be able to influence the master and what he did.
But doesn't she
And
do
some
that?
Slaves took advantage to do that. Others took advantage of being in the slave master's house.
Yeah, all right, get off here, you know. Oh, play Deo, do me a favor. That's what he's best known for. This is what Harry Belafonte should be remembered for in his tombstone, which is Deo, not for his humanitarianism or his philosophy. Do you have Deo? Because that's about all I want to hear out of Harry Belafonte. His greatest tune, Deo, Deo, Deo. Unbelievable to me. So there it is. There's your tax dollars at work. Tonight as we speak, college students in field hockey. Congressional Black Caucus Wednesday. Congressional Black Hispanic Caucus Wednesday. Black Caucus on Saturday. And honoring wonderful geniuses like Deo, man. Play it. Let him hear what he's being honored for. That's all. This is the level of the White House today. Not a genius in mathematics or nuclear physics. Not a doctor who developed a new technique in surgery. But a schmuck who sang Deo. And then hated Whitey most of his life. I'm sick of it. I'm not going to hold it back anymore. I'm sick of the double talk. The king has no clothes. I can see them. They're naked before me. They pulled a big number on you, you idiots, you. See that picture on my website of Hatton? What a horrible story that is. Remember Ricky Hatton from England? He got he really got beaten up by Pacquiao, remember? Knocked out pretty rapidly. So a story came out of England. If you're a sports, a boxing lover, which is a very small number of people, I admit it's part of my, you know, background. I grew up with watching fights. My father was a big fight fan. It was a manly art. Today they're not. I'm surprised they haven't outlawed fighting. But anyway, down on the bottom, video catches boxing champ on booze, drugs, binge. Remember boxing champion Ricky Hatton? It was something to behold. You had to be there. I mean, I was there when he caught the hook that knocked him out by Pacquiao, who's an amazing fighter, the Filipino fighter. He was much faster than him. And he gave him a knockout. You should have seen Hatton's wife, who was pregnant at the time, and the mother. They were sitting two rows in front of me near the ring. It was a gasp went through these women. I mean, it was heartbreaking. Look, that's the game they're in. So now the hitman went on a 10-hour drug and alk binge, they claim in the Sky magazine. Caught on film taking cocaine. But listen to what the 31-year-old took. He snorted 7 lines of coke in 3 separate drug sessions that night while drinking 11 pints of Guinness, 4 vodkas, 2 glasses of wine, and several Sambucas, the Sunday tabloid said. The former world champion of both light welterweight and welterweight was knocked out in his last fight over a year ago, but has yet to officially hang up his gloves. See, this is, remember there was a movie years ago, The Harder They Fall? You know what this is about? When a man is a champion, some men who are used to being at the, on the top, when they lose, they can't handle a defeat. I'm trying to explain. There's a bigger philosophical story here. You see, it's very good if you're an average man who's been suffering defeat all your life. I'm not saying that out of sarcasm. That was not meant out of sarcasm. I've had my share of tragedy, not too bad, you know, and defeat, plenty of defeat in my life. But I never quit. I never quit. I never gave up. I started a new life at age 50. I have 2 of the biggest careers of my life start after the age of 50. I never quit. Nobody was able to beat me. Not the social liberal scum vermin in the ACLU, all of whom should be deported and their assets seized. None of them could defeat me because I have the heart of a lion. I never let them defeat me. I just kept reinventing myself and struggling, and I kept working and working because I had suffered defeat as a youth. Now, a guy like him was a tough guy, never knew defeat, never got beaten, probably as a kid, a tough scrapper from Liverpool. I think he's from Liverpool. Sounds good anyway. I think Liverpudlian. A scrapper, a tough scrapper. And, you know, worked his way up, never lost. So a lot of club fights, rah, blah, blah, blah. But then he gets into the heavy, heavy duty, man, and he gets a guy who's faster and kills him, you know, knocks him out in a real quick knockout. And what happens? He cannot live with defeat. He doesn't know what defeat is. It's a new experience. It's a new world. It's a voyage to another galaxy. He may as well have been transported to the Andromeda galaxy, which I saw the other night. Did I tell you about that? At dawn, I awoke and used my night vision binoculars to gaze at the stars in the dark, and I saw the Andromeda galaxy. Did I tell you about that?
Savage.
Data rates may apply.
Let's go strolling. There's a girl in my heart.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the music I played at the family BBQ. Played it through the house system out the BBQ area. 50s rock and roll. Some great Italian songs. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I can't even begin to tell you the menu. There were too many different items. It was fun. So anyway, I can't sleep when I travel to begin with. I never could. Never mind the jet lag. So you go west to east. Everything's off, blah, blah, blah. I get up at 4:30 in the morning. You can't go back to sleep. Your mind starts to race. So what are you going to do? You lay in bed. It gets worse. You get up. I learned when I was in my late 30s, when I had insomnia because of various reasons. I read a book which said, no one ever died from a lack of sleep, but they may have died from worrying about a lack of sleep. It was a great line. And then the guy wrote, it was in one of these little, remember the 70s were an age of self-help books, if you've been around a while? And it was like one of these two-minute psychiatry books. It was so good. So the guy says, think about what you could do in 5 minutes when you can't sleep. At that time, write a letter. Walk around the block. Of course, if you live in Berkeley, you can't walk around the block. You'll get mugged and killed, owing to the liberals who let the predators run wild in the streets for fear of being called racist. There was another couple go. The man killed the other night in Berkeley. Oh, yeah. They're dropping like flies in San Francisco and Berkeley. The predators are on the loose. The illegal aliens kill a German tourist. They sweep it under the rug. The wonderful, wonderful, sensitive folks. Anyway, so I get up 4:30. So what I do is I lay on a chair on a balcony and look at the stars. Big deals. You say, okay, who wants to hear this crap? I'd rather hear about the mosque. And I'm sick of the mosque. I'm sick of this. They're taking over the country. They're lying to you. They blindsided you with your own liberalism. It's a Trojan horse of religion they're using, you schmuck. What do you want me to do? You got a government that's a Muslim government. From the military down, they're on their hands and knees. They may as well get a Robert Gates. Get on their hands and knees and pray to Mecca. Go ahead. Tomorrow. Don't get me started with this imam garbage. I'm sick of it. If we lived in a dignified nation, it would have been over already when he started. Go try to build a church in Saudi Arabia. See how you'll be retreated. You know, there's not a Bible allowed in Saudi Arabia. You smuggle a Bible and you go to jail. Well, that's, of course, the liberals like that. No Bibles, no synagogues, no churches, only mosques. Oh, but here you can build a mosque on every corner. Bigger franchise than McDonald's. That's right. Soon there'll be more mosques than there'll be McDonald's. And they'll tell you it's only a religious choice. It's only religion. A mosque on every corner. So as I say, I lay on the couch, the chair, looking at the stars. And I see, of course, I mean, it's unbelievable night sky at 4:30 in the morning, pre-dawn. And I'm reminded of Hemingway, who, although he was a big drinker, he said he never missed a sunrise in his life. I don't know if it's true, but it was very romantic to me as a young man. I love that. So since I'm looking at a Caribbean sky, I said, it must have been amazing. No matter what he did the night before, he got up to basically welcome God. I mean, that's what he said. What do you think he means by, I never missed a sunrise? That's what Hemingway wrote. What do you think he meant by that? I never missed a sunrise. What do you think he was saying? So the stars, I see the normal star clusters that I know, the formations, the Big Dipper, the Little Dipper, Cassiopeia, the Lion. I know all of those from childhood. I once built a star box, right, in the fifth grade. I never forget. And I won like a prize. I went to every classroom. Here's Michael with his star box. You know, you put a flashlight in the back of a box, and you put the puncture, the holes with the black, and it was beautiful. I loved it. In those days, you were able to do that as a child. Today, they teach you how to put a condom on a cucumber, and you go class to class to show how to fornicate with a giraffe. That's what they teach the child today. You make a star box, they arrest him for being a psychopath. They claim he has psychotic tendencies because he's interested in astronomy. But if he learns how to do sex in the first grade, then he's a normal person, according to the pervs that took over America, and particularly American schools. You think I'm making it up? Did you see this story? I'm going to get sidetracked. I'm not going to get sidetracked yet. I'll go back to the main story. So I'm looking at the stars, looking at the stars. So a couple of months ago, I bought a pair of night vision binoculars. I had always wanted them. Always wanted night vision. So I bought the latest generation that are available legally. Really nice. Oh, I mean, these are wonderful. And I like to look at the surroundings of the house at night from a balcony. You know, you do a little survey from the second floor. Who's in the bushes, this and that. Run the laser beam across the grounds, you know, on the tip of the site. Just for fun, in case there's any amphibians down there. And I'm laying there, putting everything in. I'm looking at the star. I take the night vision binoculars and I look up, go back on the chaise. I tilt back, and all of a sudden, I see galaxies beyond the normal first rung of star formations that we're all used to. I mean, what child doesn't know the Big Dipper, right? I would say even an illegal alien child knows the Big Dipper, right? He knows how to dip it into the American heartland and take out a pot of gold. That's all. He knows what the Big Dipper is. He comes here, and he's taught right away in every language. Me, immigrant, you, racist, I sue ACLU. That's the Big Dipper to the illegal alien. What does he have to know about stars? That's what they mean by in America, the streets are paved with gold. It's called lawyers from NYU, that's all. So I lean back, I look up, and there it is. I see the Andromeda Galaxy, or so I thought. I was knocked off my chair. Although I was dead tired, jet-lagged, exhausted, I couldn't sleep, mind racing. I see billions of stars, I mean, forever. I didn't see the billion all at once, but I suddenly saw that there really were endless numbers of stars. And then I had a weird thought, meaning I had an original thought to me. Weird thought. No, I didn't read it anywhere. Weird. I had a thought that if there is a hell, what happens is this. Let's say you're a guy on earth who you're always complaining about something. You're complaining about your neighbors. You don't like crowding. You don't like restaurants. In other words, you're an ordinary man. No one's as good as you. So God hears this and he says, I gave you what I'm going to do. You're not that bad a guy. You didn't kill anyone. You didn't rape anyone. You didn't run anyone over. But you know what? You're a complainer. And I don't like that as much as I don't like a murderer. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you to a distant star where no one is but you. And you're going to live on that star through eternity. That's all. That's all. Have a nice eternity. Bye. That's what you get at the desk. I started to laugh to myself, 4:30 in the morning. And I realized I have a good sense of humor. I entertain myself with it. I mean, when there's no one around, not even a dog, you got to have an active mind. So I came up with that. Then it got even better. Then I started thinking, you know, I read Dante's Inferno many years ago. And I said, he wasn't bad, Dante Alighieri, but you know what? I think that Savage's Inferno could outdo Dante's. I said, I think I'm going to write Savage's Inferno, the Savage Inferno of what happens to liberals when they meet God for what they've done to this wonderful country and to the people around them. Of course, and the first thing is they get sent to a star all alone where they can't sue anybody. Can you imagine a lawyer from New York who has made his living by taking money that isn't his and suing and winning lawsuits one after the other? Class action lawyers, they get sent to stars where there's no one but lawyers like them. And then they have to all sue each other, I thought to myself. I have an article here. I put it up on michaelsavage.com. What some class action lawyers do to American businesses. What it is, it's a press release. I couldn't believe what I was reading. It's a press release from some Goniff law firm, in my opinion, announcing that they brought in Daniel Berger, and they call him one of America's premier class action attorneys, that he's joined the firm. You would think they were talking about Mother Teresa or Albert Schweitzer, somebody who had done good for humanity. And then they boast about what Mr. Berger had done. Among just a few of his many successes, Mr. Berger obtained large recoveries against Sendencorp, $3.3 billion. Lucent Technologies, $675 million. He didn't invent a filament. Bristol-Myers Squibb took out $300 million. Daimler Chrysler, $300 million, this wonderful lawyer, without inventing a hood or ornament. Conseco, $120 million. Symbol Technologies, Mr. Berger took $139 million. And then wait, this gets even better. They're boasting about him. Mr. Berger, who's joined this wonderful firm of litigators called Grant and Eisenhofer, I read, has also played a central role in important discrimination class actions, including obtaining $175 million for a group of African-American employees of Texaco Inc. who accused the energy giant of racial bias. Notice that they didn't prove any racial bias, but the lawyer Berger took $175 million from Texaco without pumping one barrel of oil. And I said to myself, if there is a God in heaven, there's got to be a punishment in hell waiting for men like him. There's got to be, because I cannot understand a nation that permits this to go on. I can't understand it. You know that this is called tort law. And do you know that in Europe, tort law is much different than in America? They don't let vermin like this prey upon corporations. They don't let this type of lowlife, this type of vermin does not exist in Europe. They only exist at NYU and Columbia, primarily NYU and Columbia law. They don't produce so much as a sandwich for a poor person, and they rip off hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in so-called class action settlements. What sane nation would permit this, to let good, decent corporations that produce products and services that people want and need to be stolen, the corporations raped by class action lawyers? What nation would permit this other than a nation of lawyers? And we have a president who is the epitome, the capo di tutto capo of lawyers, is Obama. You could call him a front man for them, but never forget one thing. It was the trial lawyers who were the primary movers in making certain that Mr. Obama won the presidency so that the trial lawyers could continue to rape and pillage the businesses of America. Never forget who he is. He is nothing but a damn lawyer. Please don't tell me he's the president, but he's the president. It means nothing to me. We've had good presidents. We've had bad presidents. We've had great presidents. We've had poor presidents. And now we have the worst president in American history. Perhaps the laziest, most deceitful man in the history of the White House. So I'll stop right here because I need a break.
Savage.
Yep, in America, the streets are paved with yolds. Actually, the streets are paved by yolds. Yold is an old German word, lower German word for fool. Yold. It's the opposite of gold. Those who use the yold make the gold. Play it, will you please? Come on. There is good news. I hear the Germans, the nationalism is resurging in Germany. That's a good... They're actually showing, they're using the German language. They're tired of the Turks. They're actually starting to, you know, let German flags out of the window again. Thank God. Maybe there's a hope for the world. Maybe Europe will finally stand up and show some spine and kick their visitors out. Visitors have 16 children go on welfare and not supposed, oh, you can't say anything. No, no, they all come there to work. Yeah, they come over to work. Yeah, they build it to work. Rape, deal drugs, steal. They're afraid to go outside their own houses now. Eh, good imam, bad imam. Look, I covered it already. Jane Fonda, should we forgive her? No, fingers down. Yet. Is he a good imam or a bad imam? Answer, bad. Do class action lawyers serve a useful purpose? No, they should all be sent to the French Foreign Legion and released into the Sahara Desert. Now, I want a little talk about immigrants. You know how I started the radio in 1994? My doctorate's in epidemiology, nutrition, etc. So I was always interested in immigrants and epidemics. So I tried to publish a book. Now, this was after 15 books. So I wrote a proposal about immigrants and epidemics. Nobody in New York would publish it. And I had some of the best. I had really good publishers at the time. Houghton Mifflin. I had really the top. They wouldn't touch it for, even then, they were afraid already of the pressure groups. But I was trying to warn America about all of the immigrants coming in without screening, any health screening. And they were lying to us. Oh, well, there's no such thing. We don't need Ellis Island. They don't need to be screened. Remember the famous scene in The Godfather where Vito Corleone has consumption and they make him go into quarantine till he gets better? And some they kicked out. They wouldn't even let him in, right? The ACLU made sure that everyone comes in, particularly the degenerate and the sick. In other words, if you're a degenerate, you go into the head of the line. And if you're sick with a fulminating disease, you go right to the hospital. That's the upside-down world of the degenerate scum in the ACLU. So here's an article that's just made for me. It came out minutes ago. New drug-resistant superbugs found in three states, including California. But you have to read it to find out what it's all about. They cover it because it's the Associated Press, which, as you well know, is perhaps the worst organization in the history of the news. They start like this. An infectious disease nightmare is unfolding. Bacteria that have been made resistant to nearly all antibiotics by an alarming new gene have sickened people in three states. You say, oh, and where does it come from? People who've recently received medical care in India, where the problem is widespread. Really? The U.S. cases occurred this year in people from California, Massachusetts, and Illinois. Then you have to read on. And it's coming from India. Why? Because India is an overpopulated hellhole that overuses in the antibiotics and has widespread diarrheal diseases and many people without clean water. You think that they're all Bombay millionaires, right? And so now they travel to America, going to spread by plane all over the world. The California woman needed hospital care after being in a car accident in India. Wait a minute, let me see if I can understand this. The California woman needed hospital care after being in a car accident in India. So she got sick in India, flew here on a non-stopper. She came on Air India, right into a hospital here with an antibiotic-resistant bug. She gave you a real bargain. Came in with the sari right into the emergency room and infected everyone around her. The Illinois man had pre-existing medical problems. Oh. And is thought to have contracted an infection with the gene while traveling in India. Came over again for the free care. The case from Massachusetts involved a woman from India who had surgery and chemotherapy for cancer there and then traveled to the U.S. Isn't that interesting? They hate America. They all come here and spit on the country, burn the flag, wave their own flag, speak their own language, but they love the American medical care. They used to love it, not anymore. Oh, soon under Obama, there won't be such medical care. Michelle will say, let them eat fries. Play Michelle saying, let them eat fries. Because
you could make healthy sides like apple slices or carrots the default choice in a menu and make fries something customers have to request.
What do you think I am, a macaw? Turn that off. A macaw likes apple slices and carrots. My dog eats carrots. That's because he can't get the fries. I wouldn't give it to him. I eat the fries. I don't eat the fries. I know better than that. I wrote the book. I today had fried plantation with the Cuban food. It's a little different. Not much better. I nibble at a fried food. I don't eat much of it. I would have been dead a long time ago. It's not that she's wrong. Don't get me wrong. It's not that Michelle Obama's wrong. It's just that she's a hypocrite. That's all. She says one thing and does another. Every time you see her, she's slurping an ice cream cone. Either Martha's Vineyard or she's getting down with a party somewhere. God knows what they're eating. Every dessert ends with an ice cream in the White House. When has she last served apple slices and carrots for dessert? You think the Congressional Black Caucus would accept that? Tell me if the Congressional Hispanic Caucus would accept apple slices and carrots. Tell me about that. Get back to me and take a look at the menu tonight. You'll see what they're eating. Beowulf, get me the menu for tonight, the official menu. Okay? Eat as I say, not as I eat, says Michelle Obama. Play that again. I want to hear it one more time.
You could make healthy sides like apple slices or carrots the default
I'm not
choice
in, the core. Thank in
a
you
menu
very much
and make
first,
fries.
Lady. That's all. Of course you can make it. No one will buy them. No one will buy them. You can make them. Go tell them what to sell now. Make it a government mandate. Sell apple slices with a soy burger. Would you like a soy burger with apple slices? No, thank you. I'll have a double triple Mac with a one-way pass to the hospital. That's all. I'd rather have a burger with fries and go into the cardiac ward because most people hate their lives. That's why they eat that way. They hate living. They're digging an early grave because they hate life. That's all. So let them do what they want. What do you care? They come over from India with an infection no one could cure. They fly right in. A one-way ticket from Bombay from the slum. That's all. I'm sick of it. I'm just sick of it. We're being eaten alive, like everywhere you turn. Everyone takes advantage. And I don't blame the people. It's that the country is so stupid that they permit this to happen. Why is the country this stupid? ACLU and lawyers. Don't forget the ACLU are primary lawyers. That's all they are. They're fronts for lawyers. Lawyers, 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 lawyers. Everyone they sue. So they make everyone do what they want. So you bring them in from India with diseases. That's all. We don't care. Bring it down, girl. Bring it all down, girl. The faster the better. Get it on. Let's get it on. Let's bring it down. Let's break the system. Let's bust that system. We don't know what to replace it with, but we hate white people. We hate white heterosexual Christian people. We hate white heterosexual men in particular. Destroy them, bust them, kill the country, break the patriarchy, up the patriarchy, down with the man. And here we are. Harry Belafonte invited to the White House.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Make healthy sides like apple slices or carrots the default choice in a menu and make fries something customers have to request, which would hurt me deeply. I am a fry lover.
Fire, brawlers, a charred and barbecued ribs, you get the treat of the week. But when you dig,
where is everybody tonight on Saturday? Should be busy already. It's after Labor Day. Where the heck is everybody? You don't work? I'm working. Where is everybody? Still on vacation? What a country. The immigrants don't work. The illegals don't work. They get free medical, free dental, free legal, probably free housing through loans that they weren't qualified for. Good percentage of them. What do you think lost their houses? Majority of people who never should have qualified for a mortgage. I told you when I was young, I saved all my life for the first $9,000 down. I had to put down 20% to get a mortgage. They said not 18, not 19%, 20. The illegal, they give them the whole loan, 110% loan they give them. They give them the mortgage and a 10%er on top of it to go party at Atlantic City or whatever. Now, here's a story I can't believe. It's a new one. Teen banned from U.S. for baracking Obama. A British teenager has been banned from America for life for sending Barack Obama an abusive email. Luke Angel was reprimanded by police on both sides of the Atlantic after firing off a drunken message to the White House calling the president a P. Dot, 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 dot. I don't know what that is. The FBI intercepted the message and contacted police in the UK who went to see the 17-year-old at his home. Luke, a college student, is now on a list of people who are banned from visiting the United States. When asked about the ban, Luke said, "I don't really care. My parents aren't very happy about it." The police who came around took my picture and told me I was banned from America forever. The individual sent an email to the White House full of abusive and threatening language. Officers will take no criminal action. Joanne Ferreira of the U.S. Department of so-called Homeland Security said there are about 60 reasons a person can be barred. She added, we're prohibited from discussing specific cases. So an imam who comes to America, who won't disclose where his funding is coming from, where he wants to build a mosque on sacred ground, he's not banned from America. But a kid who simply expresses his distaste or contempt even for Obama is banned from America? This is America, the land of the free and the home of the brave? Now, you know this is a sensitive issue to Michael Savage because I'm banned from entering England, as you well know. Oh, yes, I've been put on a list with murderers and terrorists, and I'm banned from going to England. And I was looking forward to that dental care that summer, the famous medical care of England I was denied. But and short of that, I was going to go on a tour of the restaurants of England because, you know, the English are so well known for their cuisine. How could the United States of America bar someone from coming here for simply sending an abusive email? I want to show you what's happened to this country, that people in the so-called Department of Homeland Security attack a man like Sheriff Arpaio and a teenager from England, and they let an imam come here who spreads nothing but dissent and hatred throughout America, and him they support. We have a Department of Homeland Security and FBI that goes after Sheriff Arpaio, who's trying to protect America from the drug smugglers and the illegal aliens and keep out teenagers who don't like Obama. It's amazing the world you're living in, what you let happen. Look what Europe did. Look what happened to this country while you slept. On your watch, while you were golfing, this is what happened. While you were smoking cigars, the great pretender took over the White House. They tell you to eat apple slices while they eat French fries. They talk about freedom and peace while they impose one draconian law behind the scenes after another. They attack the successful and the worker, and they support the deadbeat and the bum and the illegal alien. All happened under your watch. And the president, who claims to be a united, not a divider, is tonight hosting college athletes, Wednesday night the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, Saturday night the Congressional Black Caucus. And you say, what is going on in the country? Why is there such hatred? Why is there such anger? Why is there such resentment? We have never had two bigger hypocrites in the White House in history. You think you're going to ban me from America for saying that? I doubt it. Do you agree with me? We've never had two bigger hypocrites in the history of the White House than Obama and Michelle. Now, why do I say Michelle? Because I am sick of her lecturing us about health foods and being seen eating ice cream cones on every vacation. That's why. Sacramento, Bob, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mike, this morning I called and canceled my subscription to San Francisco's famous newspaper.
Why?
The edition on Saturday, 9/11, was a disgrace. You know, you were traveling. I wonder maybe you didn't see it.
Oh, I go on the internet and I see what they cover. They cover stories about murders and they don't show the perpetrators. I know that newspaper. They have a few writers who should be put in prison for what they're doing. Unless the perpetrator is a white male, you never see him in the Chronicle.
The layout on 9/11 was something to see. Most of the front page was about the explosion with the gas man. I can understand that.
Yes.
But it was 9/11. In the lower right corner of the front page, listen to the headline. Media saturation stirs anti-Muslim sentiment.
Yeah. How come the Chronicle is so worried about Muslims? Why is that there? Why are they so worried about Muslims? Can you explain why liberals are so protective of Muslims?
Well, let's go to the next page.
Wait, there's a billion Muslims in the world. Why are the liberals suddenly so worried about their oppression?
Well, we know the timing here on page two. Nothing
yeah.
about 9/11. Muslims mark end of Ramadan with food, family.
I'm so proud of the local newspaper. Well, look, they're losing $1 million a week or $1 million a day. No one knows. Nobody is making any money off that newspaper. They will soon be out of business.
You know,
the so-called journalists who work for the paper will be collecting SDSI checks in the cafes of North Beach. Crazy checks they will be collecting, saying they were once writers. So, Bob, I know how bad the local paper is. I don't read it myself. It's a shame. It used to be a decent B paper, and everyone read it, but, you know, it's an embarrassment right now. Even Phil Bronstein left. You know that.
I think I do. You know,
it was so bad that even Phil Bronstein left it. It was so bad. The only people who write columns for it are an ex-mayor who can't write, uses a ghost, Willie Brown, and an ex-publisher who can't write who uses a ghost, I believe, named Phil Bronstein. I never saw anyone write like that. How could he be publisher? Well, he was the one who started the downfall. Anyone who was married to Sharon Stone, I mean, couldn't be all there anyway.
Mike, you know, on the last page...
Bob, I want to ask you, you're calling from Sacramento. Which station do you listen to me out of? KSTE out of Sacramento?
Listen to KSTE in Sacramento.
Oh, it's the greatest. You know, the signal's so powerful, it blasts right through San Francisco.
And I'm not that far away, and I get it.
You know, it's terrible, the station. It's a harbinger of what's going to happen next with the mismanagement in so many companies in this country. And the deadbeats in the newsrooms, for example. Across the street, there's a station that's owned by a big company. They have about 10 people in a newsroom. Totally unnecessary. They spend millions a year on them. So what else is in the paper, Bob?
You say, what else is in the paper? The back of the front section, we get to the letters to the editors.
Oh.
Look what they chose to put in on 9/11.
Let's
it's
hear.
From a fifth grader, and the headline is, Muslim friends in the fifth grade. We have two Muslim classmates, and they are very nice, and I'm sure they are.
No, this is like something out of the ex-Soviet Union of propaganda. It's astounding what they are doing. Why are liberals, though, so in love with Muslims and making believe they're oppressed when there are over 1.1 billion Muslims on the planet? How did they become an oppressed religion? How did that happen? Why would the liberal who hates Christians, hates the church, hates the Pope, hates Judaism, hates the Bible, why are they so in love with the Quran and Muslims? Can you explain that to me?
Mike, let me jump to Sunday's paper.
I love how we're having a dialogue, but go ahead. Keep going.
I want to just read you the beginning of one paragraph here.
All right. I see you came prepared for work today, so I'm not going to stop you.
I'll read this. You just tell me where we are. Iconic spires and domes emerged against the peach glow of sunrise Saturday morning. What city are we in?
Brussels or Paris?
How about San Francisco? Listen to the headline on top. Firefighters honor their 9/11 fallen. And they are describing San Francisco, iconic spires and domes.
What? First this city all, has iconic spires and domes?
This is the beginning, Sunday.
Wait a minute. I don't understand. Where are the spires and domes? Are you talking about the Castro District?
City Hall has a dome. The St. Peter and Paul.
Jerry Brown has a dome on him. Jerry Brown has a dome. He needs a toupee. Let me ask you something. Bob, the gas explosion. Everyone asked me on the East Coast if I knew about it. Was that an act of terrorism? Why are they suddenly looking for leads on that? I thought it was a gas leak. Now all of a sudden they're looking for leads? What's that story about, Bob?
Mike, the story to me, it looks to me like a gas explosion.
But wait a minute. I read today that suddenly authorities are looking for leads about the gas explosion. Why?
I'm going to draw a blank on that, Mike. I don't know.
You don't know? Why, it couldn't have been an act of terrorism?
Well, I guess I'm not going to read it in the paper because I can't.
Well, wait a minute. Let's go to the gas explosion in South San Francisco last week, okay? The people have been complaining about a gas leak for weeks, but the deadbeat bums working for PG&E, mainly affirmative action, you know who works for them. I know who works for them. I've seen it happen to the phone company, PG&E. I've seen it, okay? They're a bunch of lazy bums. They think they're working for a Cuban government. They don't want to do their job. So you could say it was an accident due to negligence based upon workers who were lazy and didn't do their job right. Then why all of a sudden they wake up today and read that authorities are looking for leads into the explosion? What's that about?
Well, something had to ignite it.
Oh, something had to ignite it. Well, it came around 9/11, didn't it?
They did, and it's an old pipe.
Oh, it's an old pipe. Well, who would have known about that? Who would have had access to the drawings that showed the pipes and their relative age, and who could have gotten down there and ignited it?
Good questions, Mike.
Good question. But I guess the FBI is busy looking at teenagers in England and what emails they're sending to the president that are not very complimentary, rather than looking into the gas explosion. I'll be right back.
First of all, it is absolutely disingenuous, as many have said, that that block is hallowed ground, with a strip joint around the corner, with betting parlors. To claim that it's hallowed ground, it's hallowed ground in one sense, but, you know, it doesn't add.
This is the most amazing story in the world. We have I don't like the word imam anyway. It's like the word rabbi. What does rabbi mean? It means teacher. What, are you supposed to respect him because he has imam in front of his name? okay? I have another name for him. I won't call him Imam. I'll call him something else. Where's his money coming from for the mosque on Ground Zero? He still won't tell you, the wonderful, kind, loving, peace-loving man? Then when he spoke to the Council on Foreign Relations, a questionable group to begin with, listen what he says in 21.
We come together at a time of great crisis and danger. What began as a dispute over a community center in Lower Manhattan has spawned and grown into a much larger controversy.
It's not a community center, it's a mosque. That's number one, lie number one. Go on.
We come together at a time of great crisis and danger. What began as a dispute over a community center in Lower Manhattan has spawned and grown into a much larger controversy about the relationship between my beloved religion and my beloved country, between Islam and America.
Hold on, stop for a minute. Why didn't you put your country first? Why did you put your religion first? Why do you put your religion ahead of your country? That unto itself is very telling to me. But go on, keep going.
No, it really saddened me to my very core. I regret that some have misunderstood our intentions. I'm deeply distressed that in this heated political season, some have exploited this issue for their own agendas. And I'm deeply disappointed that so many of the arguments have been based on deliberate misinformation and harmful stereotypes.
You know, you're like Tokyo Rose to me. You're nothing but a propagandist. Hey, Ralph, I can look right through you because I have X-ray vision. So let's start at the top, Mr. Ralph, because I don't want any more misinformation and stereotypes. You're stereotyping all Americans who oppose your so-called community center as racist, bungling, knuckle-dragging troglodytes, right? And you're saying that we have misinformation. Is that correct, Mr. Ralph? Well, let me ask you something. It came out last week in the New York Post, which is doing a brilliant job on covering your shenanigans and your deceit, you and your Arab friend, the developer there, that you were offered much more money for that ground, Ralph, and you turned it down, meaning the seller of the property, pardon me, was offered far more money than you allegedly paid for that ground and turned it down. That unto itself should trigger an investigation by the Attorney General of the State of New York. That's number one, because so far as I know, and I've done some real estate transactions in my life at a pretty significant number, by the way, if you make an offer on a property and they sell it to someone for much less, that's a violation of the law, Mr. Ralph. That's not a stereotype. That's not misinformation. That's a straight fact of law, Mr. Ralph. So let's get it straight. Mr. Ralph, explain to us how your friend, the Arab developer, who's been in and out of trouble with the law for many years, is that misinformation? Who's had one problem with the law after another, Mr. Ralph, how come he paid so little for that ground when the owner of the building allegedly turned down much more money, Mr. Ralph? Can you explain that to the American people? That's number one. Number two, you have the audacity to say that this is not hallowed ground. Well, you see, to us in the United States of America who see it differently, who do not belong to your beloved religion, to those of us who are not members of your beloved religion of peace, we think that this ground is hallowed ground. In fact, I will tell you something else, Mr. Ralph, since you're such an educated man and speak with such a silvery tongue. A highly educated man of Muslim religion, Arabic descent, who is the head of Al Arabiya television, much more successful than you, a man who doesn't practice the double forked tongue to get where he wants to get. That man, a Muslim, said that this is hallowed ground, and he even said that this is a cemetery. It's a cemetery where many citizens died, and their dust remains. The molecules remain right near your so-called community center. And they think, by the way, most Americans think that this hallowed ground was hallowed by some of your fellow travelers. They feel that this hallowed ground became hallowed ground by your fellow travelers who practice your same beloved religion. And the next time you talk, make sure you put your country before your religion, because you're not in Saudi Arabia, Ralph.
Savage.
We gather here at the Pentagon where the names of the lost are forever etched in stone. We gather in a gentle Pennsylvania field where a plane went down and a tower of voices will rise and echo through the ages.
What do you mean a plane went down? Muslims hijacked it and killed everyone. What the hell do you mean a plane went down?
Where the work goes on so that next year, on the 10th anniversary, the waters will flow in steady tribute to the nearly 3,000 innocent lives.
All right, I had enough of the double talk. I can't take it anymore. You know who did it to us. 19 Saudis hijacked the planes. All practitioners of the religion of peace. Okay? There were no nuns. None of the planes were hijacked by nuns or rabbis. Let's start with that. None of them were hijacked by nuns or priests. None of them were hijacked by Catholics or Protestants, Buddhists, or Hindus. None of them. So let's try for 1 second to not listen to this double talk, or we're all going to wind up in chains. That's all. So what do you want to talk about? You know, there's a good story here. Cuba to cut $500,000 for state payroll. I had a laugh out of that one because everything that Fidel is finally starting to do in baby steps, cutting government workers from the payroll and reforming salaries, everything he is undoing, Obama's trying to introduce into America. Obama is so out of touch with reality. He's been so many years in the ivory tower and in the streets of Chicago that he actually thinks that adding government workers, adding red tape is something good for the economy. When after 43 years, Fidel has found out it's a bust, it doesn't work, it's a disaster. They're driving 1953 Chrysler cars and Buicks. I wouldn't mind some of those cars. When Cuba opens up, it's one of the first things I'm going to do is get myself a 53 Chevy. But the fact is, everything Obama is trying, Castro is throwing out. It's astounding how dumb the American people are to think that this is going to work, what Obama has been trying to do. And I got to tell you right now, you know, what is today's date already? Whatever, the 13th, yeah, of September. You know, in a few short weeks, my book, Trickle Up Poverty, is coming out from William Morrow. I don't have to tell you, it's a couple of 100,000 copies printed in hardcover. This is not a self-published book. This is from one of the best publishers in the world. It's going to be blown out in every bookstore in America. It's so big. It is so big, and it's all about trickle-up poverty. It's all about what Obama's doing to you. All of the deceit, all the lies, all the misinformation, all the double talk is thrown out the window, and he's unmasked for what he has done. And I'm doing it for a reason. I want to change history. I want to interrupt the lies of the next election, and I want to make certain that this man is never elected again. And that's why I'm exposing him in trickle-up poverty. And yes, this is a plug for the book. And yes, I want it to be in everyone's hands. And yes, I want you to go on Amazon and I want you to order your copy now, because you may actually not even get one. How's that? I have not yet had a major book out in years. I've self-published. They've done very well. And that's all I'm going to say now, because I don't want to be accused of self-aggrandizement. I'm very excited. It's been going on for months now. It's close now to the starting gate. You know what I'm saying? The horses are in the lineup. Okay, they're getting them in the thing, whatever they call them. Not the paddock. I'm not a race guy. So it's all in there. Cut 500,000 government workers and cut salaries, you hear? And Obama, the government, never had such big salaries in their life, these bums. They don't work. They do nothing. They shuffle papers, and they take EEOC breaks to see who they can sue. Or they tell your employees who are deadbeat bums who don't want to work how to sue you to take out of your hands what you built your whole life. That's what the government's good for. Wrecking things, breaking things, destroying things. It's an army of leeches. An army of leeches. They don't protect us. They don't add a thing to the gross national product. And all they do is tell you what you're doing wrong and how to do it wronger and make sure that you don't do it righter. That's your government at work. It's gotten so much worse under this deceiver-in-chief. It's unbelievable to me. I'm sorry if you don't like the vitriol. Maybe this show isn't for you. Go tune in something else. Go listen to Mantovani music. Get an old, 8-track. Go get out the Chrysler out of the garage and get an 8-track. You don't like it. Jane Fonda, 72 years old, doing an exercise tape. Astounding, the nerve of these old hags. The nerve of them. They don't know when to quit. They don't know when to get off the stage. 100 million people she wants to sell an exercise tape to. She's going to pose in a leotard at age 72. This old traitor. You know, I have an idea. I'll tell you what tape would sell of Jane Fonda. If I had time, I would do it myself. Someone will rip off the idea. What do I care? I throw out more ideas that people make a living off than anyone in the business. I'd get a Jane Fonda lookalike, a real ugly hag, a skank of the lowest order. In other words, any Hollywood actress over the age of, let's say, 13. A burnt-out hag. And I'd put her in leotards, and I would have her on a mock North Vietnamese anti-aircraft gun called the Anti-Aircraft Gun Workout by Jane Fonda. And she would show you how to work your biceps, your triceps, your deltoids, and your pecs while helping a Vietnamese aim at an American airplane overhead. In other words, a hand-cranked anti-aircraft gun. Now, that would be a scream. That would sell. Jane Fonda to me is a traitor, always has been a traitor. I'll never forget what she said. Don't fall for this crap that she apologized. The only reason she apologized is because somebody got a picture of her on the anti-aircraft gun. That's the only reason she had to apologize. And then she had the nerve to say that our soldiers were war criminals, and then she accused American POWs of lying when they alleged that the North Vietnamese were torturing them. Ask John McCain if he was tortured by the sacred, wonderful North Vietnamese, if they were lying. Ask him if he was lying. Jane Fonda should have had the dignity to leave the country and move to Denmark, where she belongs. But no, here she is again, age 72, putting out an exercise tape. The only tape I would buy would on an anti-aircraft gun, chained to the anti-aircraft gun, having to work it forever on a star in the Andromeda Galaxy. That would be one of Savage's infernos. Remember I told you I'm better than Dante? If I put my mind together, I want to go in the dark places. That 4:30 in the morning thing I told you about, looking at the Andromeda Galaxy with my night vision binoculars. So I thought that there may be one star for every human that ever lived. And that God says, all right, you were unhappy on Earth. I'll tell you what, I'm going to put you on a star where no one exists. And there's a star somewhere in the Andromeda Galaxy where Jane Fonda will go and where there will be a North Vietnamese hand-cranked anti-aircraft gun that she has to crank through eternity. That would be one of the infernos, one of Savage's infernos. That would be a good one. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. We have so much good, and I'm just warming up now. Throat is out, so glands are swollen, can't sleep. Maybe I should go into all night and sleep anyway. What's the good of it? What's the good of not working at night when you think about it? You work, you're off the air, then what? Then you got to really face hell. You got to face a nightmare. The show is over, then you got a whole night ahead of you, a nightmare. What am I going to have for dinner? What am I going to have for entertainment? Who do I want to talk to? I don't want to talk to them. Why do I want to know them? I do know them. They're not bad, but I can't stand them when I see them. He is my friend. He isn't my friend. I can't stand them. I wish he wouldn't open his mouth. I like him when I don't see him. And when I see him, I can't stand him. Then I have three drinks and give him a hug. I tell him I love him. 2 days later, I hang up on him. Who needs this? I'd be better off working on the radio 12 hours a night. Let's say a 6P to a 6A. Mike's overnight. That's all. Just keep talking about what's going on in the world. It's better than trying to sleep. Who wants to look at the stars and think about eternity? I mean, that's a fill-in. In other words, I do it because I'm bored and I can't sleep. You get up at 4:30 in the morning. Just think if I was on the air instead. Wherever you are in the world, you can just listen to me 12 hours a night. Just when I thought I was getting out, they pulled me back in. This is what's going to happen, I'm telling you. I know myself. Just when I'm for this dang liberal scum and I hate the lawyers and I can't stand the politicians, just when I would do 12 hours a night because I want to get even, because no one can do it like Mike. There's nobody on earth who can do radio like me. Nobody. I have my own unique style. I don't say I'm the best. I don't have to say it. You know it's true. And we have a big, big fight coming up against us. We got Islam trying to tear our society to pieces, telling us that we're the racists because we see what they're doing to us. We got this lying rat bum telling us that we don't interpret, we don't know what we're doing, misinterpretation, disinformation. Yeah, tell your story walking. If we had a couple of men with balls, this never would have gotten this far. If we had a state attorney general who wasn't gingerly stepping around running for office, he would have dragged him and that developer into court already. Instead of bothering with all the garbage no one cares about, step in already. Cuomo, Perry Como's grandson, should step in, the Attorney General of New York, and say, I've had enough of this crap. The people can't take it anymore. We want to know how you turned down four times as much money for that property, the developer. To the developer, gave him like $4 million. They were off at 16 or 18. How did you turn down 18 and take four? Where's the rest of the money? Did they transfer to an offshore account? Put him in jail if need be. Put him under oath. Let's get to the bottom of the whole thing. See, now, if you had an Attorney General in New York who really cared about the people as opposed to studying polls and this and that, he would have dragged this guy already into court, the developer, and he would have had Mr. Ralph on the stand with one hand on the Quran, you know what I mean? If he didn't want to put his hand on the filthy Christian Bible, he could put his hand on the Quran and tell us the truth. You know what I'm saying? If the Bible isn't something he believes in, let him put his hand on the Quran and tell the truth before Allah, if he needs to. San Diego, Glenn, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. You asked about why liberals keep seeming to be for either Muslim values, weak on the border, high taxes. It seems to me that there is a common thread running through all of this liberal thinking.
Yes.
And each of it, each of these attacks, what they're really attacking to me is the weakening of our, they want to weaken our American values based on Judeo-Christian culture. And the more they can chip away at society means that they normalize whatever they're trying to put over on society.
Well, I don't disagree with you. But what they don't understand is there's no coming back from what they're doing to this country. There's no returning from it. In other words, the damage they are doing on a regular basis, the replacement that they have in mind is unlike any the world has ever seen if they're not stopped. I actually see it that way. Thanks for the call. I don't want to say any more. 1-800-449-8255. I'm getting a sore throat. The minute I'm off the air, I'm going to have an 18-year-old scotch. I'm going to tell you my friend to him. I don't even like scotch. I hate the stuff. I can't stand it. I'm a beer drinker. Once a vodka, once in a while. Yesterday I had wine at the party. I had New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. I love it. Marlboro. I mixed that three wine coolers. It was half wine, half club soda with, it was good, three of them. So what does it add up to? An ounce and a half of alcohol, big deal. Made me more mellow for the party. I'm a very high-strung guy. That's how I am. That's how I perform. So I wrote 27 books. What do you think? I'm like you? I don't play golf on Saturday. But the point is, because the throat hurts me, tonight it's going to be... A guy told me this who didn't even drink. He survived World War II. He's still alive. And what he told me was, every time he had a tinge of a sore throat, he would take scotch and basically gargle it. He would let it sit on the back of his throat and then spit it out. He wouldn't even drink it. He's a teetotaler. He's 85 years old. And you know it works. I swear to God. I mean, I use all the other stuff, the zinc drops, the vitamin C. I got echinacea propolis. It's all good. It all works for me. But I swear to God, they must do something. But tonight, instead of spitting it out, I think I'll swallow it. That's all. I'm going to go right down. In other words, why spit it out? It's 18 years old. The Scotch people, look how hard they worked on it. I'm not a socialist. Why spit out good Scotch? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like Clinton said he inhaled. Okay, so I'm going to swallow. That's all. Right after the show, I'm talking bingo. Right to the sink. Cuban food here in the South Miami where I am. Cuban. Grouper fish. I don't eat the beans. I told you last Thursday on the nutrition show, I lacked the enzymes necessary, thank God, to break down beans. You don't want to be, but the point is, I'm not good with them any. And that's where the gas comes from, if you don't have the proper enzyme. You shouldn't eat it to begin with. That's all. You don't have the enzymes for the beans. Don't eat them. Maybe you're designed for a high meat diet. There are people who were designed for a very high animal protein diet, incidentally. They live to 96, some of them. Yeah, I've met them. That's all. Meat and potatoes, they don't touch a salad. In fact, I was going to tell you this on Friday. I did the nutrition show Thursday. I took off Friday to get ready for the trip. So I went into that book, The Skeptical Nutritionist, that I was reading from my own book. And I found the postscript. It said, postscript on a trip to Panama. And it was about how I went on a ship. And the book's already going to the printer. And I meet a guy, 78 years old, in perfect shape. Lean, trim, tan, never looked better. And I ask him what his diet is. He says, don't look to me because I eat only meat and potatoes. I hate vegetables, never ate one. I get sick at the thought of eating anything that's green. And I smoke cigars. I said, oh, my God. So I said I wanted to throw the book manuscript in the garbage. But then I thought about it, and I realized he's what I called a nutritional rogue. So don't generalize about people who basically have inherited the longevity gene to be a person who lives to 100 or 90. There are people with genes like that. You know that. I'm not one of them. Most of us are not like that. And you certainly shouldn't use the octogenarian's diet as an example of what you should be doing. You would have been dead at 46, some of you, if you followed that kind of thinking. You can't do it. You can't do it. So there are nutritional rogues. It doesn't mean that all the nutritional advice is faulty. It isn't. It is not faulty. It's life-saving. I wouldn't be here if I didn't follow it. I do practice what I preach the best I can. That's all. Now that I've covered virtually everything, I'm going to be up all night with you. This is FM Mike on the Savage Nation. It is 11 minutes to 8 p.m. on the East Coast, 11 minutes to 5 p.m. on the West Coast. I'll be with you all night tonight on the Savage Nation. I'm trying a 12 to 15-hour show to see if I can destroy my vocal cords forever. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Make healthy sides like apple slices or carrots the default choice in a menu and make fries something customers have to request, which would hurt me deeply. I am a fry lover.
Come along and be my hearty doll. Come along and be my hearty doll.
This is FM Mike on the Savage Nation. On a skip signal around the world, FM Mike here on the Savage Nation. From 6B to 6A, heard somewhere on earth. Never leaving the microphone, because the world is hell. There's only one world, and that's the world of the microphone. Outside of the microphone, there is no world. It's a hellish world. FM Mike, every night just for you. I'm trying something out. That's it. I'm thinking of never sleeping again, just doing radio. Could you imagine? Why, you know, it's an interesting idea. Why sleep? For people who are insomniac, it's actually interesting that the years I did have insomnia, I would fall asleep in a fitful sleep like at dawn because it was safe. That's like when the animals left the cave door. You know what I'm saying? Like all night long, you slept with a torch, like with woof, make sure they couldn't come in. You had like the bow and arrow, the spear, the flame. And the wolf was always trying to come in the cave door. Like, so all night long. But the minute it became like light, the wolf, all the nocturnal creatures went home, right? So I would like fall asleep in the cave. And it's the same thing. Nothing changes. We're still, you know, internally, I mean, it's like the Neanderthal diet, same thing. Inside, we're still Neanderthals. Never mind the cars and this and that. How did they live with those women? No Nair, nothing, no underarm deodorant. How did the race survive? How did human beings go forward in a cave like that? And think of it, there was no sanitation. The meat they ate rotted. Their teeth were bad at 13 years old. I mean, it was horrible. I can't imagine that. How does a species move on from that? And today we have everything, air conditioning, clean sheets, 18 different ethnic meals you could order by a bicycle guy comes, not good enough, no good, everyone moaning, not good enough, nothing's good. How do we forget what we were? And we're out of time this hour. How do you like that? Well, this has been fun on the Savage Nation. When you come to this show, speak in Fasties 4.0, because we have no time for slow ones. Anytime you get on the Savage Nation, you speak in New York. Speak in Fast Ease 4.0 on the Savage Nation or FM Mike. Will not take your call. It's been fun. There's another big hour throughout most of America here on the Savage Nation. And just remember, tomorrow night in the last segment of this hour, I will have my first drink on air in history.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
We'll be right back.
I can't make up my mind which one you are. I'd like to wake up and find.
First of all, it is absolutely disingenuous, as many have said, that block is hallowed ground, with a strip joint around the corner, with betting parlors, to claim that it's hallowed ground. It's hallowed ground in one sense, but, you know, it doesn't add.
Please say you'll be mine. Love me or leave me.
There's an awful lot of stories today, I got to tell you. Where do I begin? Well, let's start with the good mosque, the bad mosque, the good imam, the bad imam. We've been sold a bill of goods that's as shifting as the sands of Arabia. Turns out that one of the members of the organization run by the so-called Imam Rauf, the driving force behind the planned Ground Zero Victory Mosque, claims that the 9/11 attacks were an inside job and that Muslims have been made scapegoats, according to the New York Post. His good friend, his good buddy, Faiz Khan, who has preached at least twice at the former Burlington Coat Factory building, was for years so-called Imam Rauf's partner in the so-called American Society for the Advancement of Muslims, which is dedicated to promoting a better understanding of Islam, meaning beating people up if they say anything negative. Well, read the whole story. It's all on michaelsavage.com. I'm not going to read you every detail. Good mosque, bad mosque. Good imam, bad imam. How about meeting the Muslim woman who is battling Disney over the right to wear a headscarf? Huh? You want to hear about the lawsuit against the Storytellers Cafe at Disney property in California? This fine, upstanding product of humanity, a convert to Islam, has been working at the Disney Cafe for 2 years. And she signed papers agreeing to follow their dress code. But suddenly, she requested that she be permitted to wear a traditional Muslim headscarf. Never received an official answer, so she is doing what liberals and Muslims do best, which is sue. Read the story, michaelsavage.com. Two Afghans killed as Quran protests simmer. Two lunatic throwback troglodytes, two 9th century lunatics, were killed on Sunday in a third straight day of violent Afghan protests sparked by a U.S. pastor's threat to burn copies of the Quran. It's interesting in all of this that none of the media outlets will tell you that there are no Bibles allowed in Saudi Arabia. And as far as I know, there's not been a church ever built in Saudi Arabia. Huh, didn't know that. Didn't read that, didn't know that. How about our great maximum leader, Obama? Well, they're saying he's unplugged and makes no sense anymore. He's just mumbling. Mumbling, not making any sense. Nobody knows what he's talking about. These are some of the stories that I want to talk with you about. There's a couple of others that shouldn't be missed today. Jane Fonda, remember her? You forgot her? Remember her? Her posing for pictures with the North Vietnamese anti-aircraft gun in 1972? You forgot about that. You remember what Fonda did, the traitor? You remember how she posed with the anti-aircraft gun? You remember what she said, that President Nixon would never be able to break the spirit of the North Vietnamese people while our men were being tortured and killed? You remember during the same trip to North Vietnam that Fonda, the lying traitor from hell, referred to our military men as war criminals? And she even went so far, that rat bum, of accusing American POWs of lying when they alleged that the North Vietnamese had tortured them. Tell that to John McCain, whose shoulders were broken by the scum. Well, such anti-American sentiment on the part of Jane Fonda might make Senator John Kerry proud. But you know what? It's stomach-turning for real Americans whose children enlist in the military because they love this country. Everyone's mad. And yet this worn-out vulture, I wouldn't even call her a cougar, this vulture, this emaciated vulture, Jane Fonda, is about to release two new workout DVDs aimed at older adults. Hanoi Jane Works Out. Maybe she could have a special anti-aircraft gun workout tape. She could buy some of them from the remnants, the trash heap of North Vietnam, and she could show women how to work their biceps and their triceps and their abs by hand cranking the anti-aircraft gun. Yeah, we learned lessons from the Vietnam War, Ms. Fonda. And one of those lessons was that you're a traitor, through and through. K Cuba is to cut 500,000 government workers and reform salaries. Cuba is going to do the opposite of what Obama the communist is doing. Cuba's firing state workers. Cuba's going to free up private enterprise to help them find new work. While here, Obama the communist is enacting what Fidel is giving up. It's all in my new book, which you shouldn't miss, Trickle Up Poverty, coming out in only a few weeks. I can't believe it. You can go on Amazon and buy it right now. What else is in the news? Arizona's Sheriff Joe Arpaio weighs in on national politics. Good for him. New York City remembers 9/11. U.S. poverty levels take record jump. Ground Zero Mosque Imam has record of inflaming terrorists. Remember what this Mosque Imam said? The man with the hooded eyes who says he's a good Muslim, a good man, a peacemaker. The so-called imam behind the proposed Ground Zero Victory Mosque claimed in a CNN interview last week that moving the site would be a victory for the radicals, which is unbelievable. It's a veiled threat, of course. Obama acknowledges Americans are asking him, what have you done? The answer is eating ice cream. That's what he's done. Kimberly Strassel, Wall Street Journal, the Obama heyday is over. Democrats running against Obama. Change will come in the next Congress, regardless of which party's in control. Speaking of racism, former New York City mayor, the black mayor, David Dinkins, made an anti-white endorsement. He encouraged voters to embrace a state Senate candidate because he looks more like us. Play any rock and roll for me.
Eddie, my love, I love you so.
You know, the rock and roll of the 50s is interesting. Not only that I was a boy when it was, you know, my age. I'm not hiding it. I'm nothing to be ashamed of. I'm proud of it that I survived this long, by the way. Never thought I'd get here, but here I am. And I'm stronger than I was at 30, incidentally, physically and mentally. I wish to God I was as strong as I am now when I was 30. Honest to God, I feel stronger physically and mentally. I'm probably not. That's part of the deception. Who really knows? But thank God I feel good. So I'm listening to the music, and I realize it's 50 years ago, and yet the music's still beautiful. And I ask myself, is 50s rock and roll beautiful because it reminds me of when I was a kid, or is it beautiful because it's beautiful? It's all love songs. There's none of that crotch-rubbing, gutter garbage that you hear today. There's none of that filth that you hear today in rap music. There's none of the violence and the misogyny you hear in music. It was all about the love for a woman. And love, love, love. That's all it was. I'll be right back. Pentagon attempts to block a book on the Afghan war. DIA says national security could be breached if a book is published in its current form. How George Soros plans to control the U.S. judiciary. Dr. Evil. Dr. Evil, perhaps the most dangerous man on the planet. Obama reduces deportation of illegal aliens. For the Jewish amongst us, read how liberal Jews are defacing Rosh Hashanah. Take a look at the pictures coming out of Miami. Take a look at what liberal Jewish men are doing for Rosh Hashanah to celebrate the High Holy Days, turning themselves into idiotic children. Yes, lots of stories. Lots of stories. Fallen soldier honored for having a heart of a lion. It's out of England. Pay tribute to a British soldier who died in a hospital in the UK after being shot in Afghanistan. They called him a little man with the heart of a lion. Video catches boxing champ Ricky Hatton on booze and a drugs binge. Caught on film allegedly taking cocaine, drinking pints of beer, swilling vodka, and he looks like an old pug, an old, beaten-up pug. What happens with men like this who have never been used to losing is once they lose, it's the harder they fall. I think I'm going to tell you about a fly in my radio studio and the midget in the Florida hotel. This is from my book, Psychological Nudity. I wrote it years ago. It's not a money thing for me, but I want to just read you some of the story today because it's so... There's a fly in the studio. I'd like to kill it, but I'm the kind of guy who lets flies out of a window, if I can. There's no window here, no screen. I just want to kill it with a newspaper. In 2 minutes, you're going to hear me running after a fly. I hate flies. I hate them. They remind me of liberals. They always buzz around. They leave fecal matter everywhere. They supply nothing positive to the environment. They're always buzzing, buzzing, buzzing. A bee I don't mind as much as a fly. A bee doesn't bother me because I can see a bee. It doesn't weave and bob like a fly. A fly has a certain agility that a bee doesn't. Bees leave you alone, by and large. A fly looks to bother you just because it can. My father, may he rest in peace, taught me a trick. It's an old European trick. You take an undershirt off your body. You swing it overhead. You ever seen the old men do that years ago? There's no old men left anymore. Where are the old men in this country? You never see them. When I grew up, there were old men around. Old men, middle-aged men, young men. Today, everyone tries to look alike. With Viagra and hair transplants, it's like one continuum from age 15 until death. Everyone has dark hair, false teeth, and can be sexually aroused until they go into the coffin. In my day, you got old and that was the end of it. They were old younger, though. The truth is, in my day, 40 was 60. 60 was 80. I don't know how it happened. In those days, they died younger, at 50, 55, a lot of them. Ever take a look at their diets? Smoked all day, didn't exercise, didn't take vitamins, never dieted. You can kill any good genetic inheritance with that kind of situation. Have I told you the story of the thieving midget in the seedy hotel in Florida 25 years ago? This is when, the reason I'm laughing, hold on. The reason I'm laughing is because this story in my book was taken directly from a radio transcript and slightly edited to make it, you know, a little more coherent. But it's very much like Tristram Shandy from 1759, Lawrence Stern's book. Not in the sense of talking about a fly or a midget in a Florida hotel. He invented the stream of consciousness technique that we now call it. Of course, that was originally invented by the Bible, which is all stream of consciousness. Whether you're reading Leviticus or any of the others, it's stream of consciousness. And then I went down to the river, and I saw the woman by the river, and the woman saw the river of the Moses, and Moses saw the river of the woman. And the woman and Moses went up to the hill, and they went up to the hill, and they saw the lantern. And when they saw the lantern on the hill, the parable was such that I was certain that one day there would be a hot dog stand on Battery Street that would be converted into a Chinese delicatessen, and eventually that Chinese delicatessen would become a porno parlor that a certain mayor would one day compare to a holy place. Remember Imam Rauf's warning about moving the Ground Zero Mosque? Well, listen again.
If we move from that location, the story will be that the radicals have taken over the discourse. The headlines in the Muslim world will be that Islam is under attack. And I'm less concerned about the radicals in America than I'm concerned about the radicals in the Muslim world.
And listen now to Rudy Giuliani explaining why this imam is really a hater, not really a healer.
You know, I analyzed this imam's history pretty carefully. And I hate to simplify it, but it's the only way to do it. There's the good imam and the bad imam. The good imam is about reconciliation. He's about being open and transparent about what he's doing and how he's doing it. Then there's the bad imam who said America is an accessory to September 11. Mm-hmm. America has more Muslim blood on its hands than vice versa. He can't condemn Hamas as a terrorist group. And he will not be transparent about where he's getting the money, how he's getting the money. And has virtually not been open at all about this. And now we have the imam who tells us he doesn't get his way. There could be a significant and very dangerous violence.
And Giuliani, to his credit, goes on.
He seems, by his actions, to be more interested in confrontation than in healing. Actually, if you go on with the rest of that quote, I was talking about the Pope and the issue that he faced several years ago with a convent outside of Auschwitz. There was a convent there, perfect right to have it. Many people in the Jewish community felt it was insensitive. The Pope and the nuns could have said, we're going to stay there. We have a right to do it. Let's have that confrontation. Bring it on. The Pope, being a man of healing, wanting not to make things more painful for people that have already had way too much pain, said, let's withdraw.
Wait, hold
let's
it for a minute.
It back.
That's a very good point. Play it again.
The Pope, being a man of healing, wanting not to make things more painful for people that have already had way too much pain, said, let's withdraw. Let's pull it back.
See, Giuliani finally did the right thing. He's stepping up to the plate. He's acting like a real leader while the other Republicans are hiding. Now listen to the latest from so-called Imam Rauf.
First of all, it is absolutely disingenuous, as many have said, that block is hallowed ground.
No,
with a
sir.
Joint around the corner, with betting parlors, to claim that it's hallowed ground. It's hallowed ground in one sense.
This is hallowed ground to Americans.
You know, it doesn't add.
But that's something you wouldn't know. Dutch MP Geert Wilders, who is no stranger to Muslim hatred any more than I am, spoke at a rally against the Ground Zero Mosque.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me start by saying, no mosque here. Exactly.
And listen as he talks about the lack of interfaith understanding in Saudi Arabia, and you got to pay attention, all you moronic, stupid, schmuck liberals.
Ladies and gentlemen, we who have come to speak here today object to this mosque project because its promoter and its wealthy sponsors have never, ever suggested building a center to promote tolerance and interfaith understanding where it's really needed, in Saudi Arabia, in Mecca.
There are no Bibles, no churches in Saudi Arabia, you stupid schmucks, you. You have no idea you're digging your own grave, you stupid idiots.
Set.
Look, I know more about nutrition than anybody in radio, and I take my heart and my health seriously, which is why I recommend Iceland Health Omega 3. Other brands don't compare to Iceland Health's purity and potency. Moreover, it doesn't have a fishy or a nasty aftertaste, which I hate. This is the good, good brand. Iceland Health doesn't taste fishy, as I said to you. It's manufactured in its own pharmaceutical-grade facility to ensure quality, purity, and freshness. Look, if you're over 30, you should be taking Iceland Health Omega 3. Why? It helps lower triglycerides, reduce plaque, and improve blood circulation. I have a real PhD in nutrition from the University of California, so I know the difference between high quality and a waste of time. Iceland Health's quality and effectiveness are second to none, and that is why you should be taking it every day. Call 800-376-1126 right now. 800-376-1126. Iceland Health comes with a no-questions-asked money-back guarantee, but you're not going to need it. This product is outstanding. Call 800-376-1126 for the best omega-3s.
Call Michael now at 1-800-449-8255.
Savage.
Every time we think it's wrong, let's break the law and let's ignore the court. You don't think that's how anarchy starts? You don't think that's how riots...
Anarchy, huh? The anarchy of you and your friends there in the law business?
You rats are the anarchists.
You need to get a lawyer and understand what his power is.
Why don't you listen to what I just said and don't give me the lawyer crap? What do you mean lawyer? What the hell is a lawyer? What makes a lawyer smarter than everybody?
You are wrong.
Well, look, Jeb Bush is a wimp. He disgraced himself in his office, and I'm right and you're wrong and he's wrong.
Yeah, you know, I consider you the enemy within.
Good. You ought to congratulate yourself. I'm glad you do.
So who do you consider the enemy within?
Did you read my book, Dave?
No.
So how do you know that I'm the enemy within? What's your real name, Dave?
It's not Savage Nation.
Is it David Schmuck or David Putz? What did your father call you when you were young? He must have called you Putz or Putz Techa from the time you could crawl, you red diaper doper baby bum.
Savage.
This is Michael Savage. I want you to know that freedom of speech is not free. Believe me, courageous radio stations like this one want your advertising dollars to pay their bills and be able to bring you my show and all the others you've come to depend on for the real truth. Talk radio in many ways is America's immune system, but it needs your booster shot. If you're a business, you need to put your money where your heart is. Advertise on this station. And here's the good news. According to Talkers Magazine, ads airing on talk stations like this one generate 2 to 3 times the response from customers than other radio formats would generate. Why? Because talk radio listeners support with their dollars the advertisers that support the radio shows that they love. If you're a business, any kind of business, I don't care if you're a roofer, a plumber, advertise on this station. If you're a listener, do business with the businesses that advertise on my show and others on this station. For more information on how you can buy ads on this station or my show, call 877-474-6605. Write it down, 877-474-6605.
Can you imagine a world without children? A world where children don't play, or dream, or imagine.
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, we're working every day to find cures for diseases that strike down children. Because we can't imagine a world without children. Can you?
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Call 1-800-931-0800 or log on to stjude.org.
Do you want to experience the full impact of the Michael Savage Show? Become a premium member and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcasts. Now you can take the Michael Savage Show anywhere and listen whenever and wherever you want. Get hooked up with the Michael Savage Show today. Go to www.talkradionetwork.com. That's talkradionetwork.com. Click on Savage's picture and sign up now. Savage.
The best network marketers in the world all desire three things from their new MLM opportunity. Products that dial into an untapped global phenomenon, to call on their MLM talents and get the good life fast, and to join early so they can quickly enjoy their dreams. Only top MLM professionals can join our new company now. Before we launch, we need top network marketers who can optimize the leads from our radio campaign to an audience of over 30 million. If you are a proven MLM professional who has earned six figures and achieved top ranks in other MLM companies, act now. Send a text message to 74499 and type MLM in the body of the message. These elite positions will go fast. Send a text message to 74499 and type MLM in the body of the message. Again, send a text to 74499 and type MLM in the message. Message and data rates may apply.
I've said before that judges are overstepping their boundaries and trying to create laws from the bench. We saw it with Prop 8, and we're seeing it now with Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Joining us now from WorldNet Daily is Joseph Farah to give us his reaction to this judge's ruling. Joe, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, thanks for having me on again.
So what do you think about this judge?
Well, you know, Michael, you and I were talking off the air about this latest federal judge's ruling striking down the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy in the U.S. military. And my reaction, it was this. You know, who needs voters anymore? Who needs legislators? Who needs elected officials? You know, with some of the recent federal court rulings, overturning first Proposition 8 in California and now the U.S. military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, it occurred to me, why do we bother conducting votes and convening sessions of legislative bodies anyway?
Exactly.
I mean, when we have enlightened judges like Virginia Phillips, who overturned the duly enacted law prohibiting these flagrant displays of open homosexuality in the military, and we have Vaughn Walker, who overturned the vote of millions of Californians to preserve marriage as a legal union between one man and one woman, why do we waste all that money on Congress and elections? I mean, who needs it? Obviously, voters don't understand the Constitution. Obviously, members of Congress don't understand the Constitution. The President of the United States evidently doesn't understand the Constitution, not this one or his predecessors, according to these judges. Only the anointed high priest in black robes understand the Constitution. I guess that's the lesson here.
Well, of course, only these educated elite understand the law. It shouldn't be left up to the common idiotic person.
Now, you know, these two extraordinarily gifted jurists were apparently able to see through all of the biases and the prejudices infecting the minds of average Americans. They were able, apparently, to make moral distinctions not influenced by the negative stereotypes of the people, something from which elected officials like members of Congress and even the president find it difficult to insulate themselves. Just think of how much money we could save by shutting down Congress, the White House, eliminating costly votes at the state and national level. I bet it would be billions. And all we need are judges, and we've got plenty of them. This whole system of checks and balances is obviously antiquated and outdated. The idea of this being a nation governed by the rule of law and the will of the people, it all sounds nice. But look how much more efficient it is just to leave governance and leadership to a small band of judicial oligarchs.
Well, of course they know better about what we the people want, even more than we the people. They know more than the founding fathers.
You know, public debates are messy business. Judges are above it all. They are singularly free to make informed decisions and rulings based on their readings of the Constitution. They clearly have far more insight into what that living document really means. Like the all-wise oracles they are, they can peer into their souls and somehow supernaturally rule wisely.
Of course, that's why they went to those fancy universities.
You know, it comes down to this, Michael. We have a new ruling class in America today, judges. They do the dirty work that legislatures are afraid to do and the people won't do. We're ruled by political elites. This ruling class is educated, you know, at all the right universities, and they're convinced of their own superiority. They know what's best for us, and they're increasing their power over every facet of American life, from family and marriage to the environment, guns, God, and now we can add the military to that list with this ruling on Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Well, it was about time, too.
You know, it's about time ordinary Americans realize what's going on here. They are unfit for self-governance. They are ill-equipped to understand the living words of the Constitution. They don't know right from wrong. They're not properly educated. They need to focus their efforts on working for the best interests of the state, not their own. They'll be happier. They'll be more content without diverting their attention from paying taxes and serving their masters. They are mere subjects, and the sooner they realize that, the better off we'll all be. Don't even think about rebellion. It's futile. Just live with it. Learn to get along. Learn not to make waves. Accept your fate. Trust in the benevolence of your superiors.
After all, these elites are only doing this for our benefit.
Elections and representative government, they might have been nice ideas in another time. But we're all beyond that now. The masters of the universe, the new ruling class, they have everything under control. That's the way I see it, Michael.
What can we really do about this?
What can we do? Well, obviously, the vote doesn't mean anything anymore. If a vote can be overruled by the stroke of the pen, as it was in California in the Prop 8 decision, as a vote of Congress and a signature of the president did with the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. By the way, a Democratic president signed that legislation. What can the people do? I think they're... What they're trying to do right now, and manifested by the Tea Party movement, is getting up off their duffs for the first time in a long time, getting out into the streets and making their voice heard. What else is left?
Well, we're seeing a resurgence of political rallies lately, with the Tea Parties and their candidates are winning. What do you have planned, Joe?
Well, we're making a last stand in this upcoming week, Michael. As you well know, in Miami, it's called the Taking America Back National Conference at the Doral Resort. And we're calling out that remnant of Americans who still understand the idea of self-governance, who aren't going to just cave in and walk away and accept rule by an elite. And it's a unique conference at the Miami Doral Resort. If you want to find out more information about it, you can go to TakingAmericaBack2010.com for all the details. There's still time for people to show up, especially if you're in the southern Florida area.
Well, the mainstream media seems to have a vendetta against people speaking out. They don't believe in free speech.
Oh, no question about it. And, that's why I think if there are few like-minded voices out there any longer in the national media who recognize who can see beyond the facade of what's happening or what's portrayed in our media. And I think that is the attractive appeal of Michael Savage program and WND.com. We can't be bought. We're not for sale. And I think that that's going to be evident in this upcoming conference with the folks who turn out for what may very well be, you know, our last chance to redirect America back to its roots of self-governance, limited government, all those good things. I really believe, Michael, that if we don't get it right this time, we may not have another chance. And that's why I've been, you know, so encouraging and supportive of the Tea Party movement, because this is, frankly, one of the most dynamic and exciting grassroots political movements, well, for certain, that we've seen in our lifetimes. And, you know, again, if we can't get it right, if they don't get it right, it may be the end of America as we know it.
But the Tea Party movement doesn't seem to be losing any steam.
That's exactly right. In fact, you know, you look at the polls regarding this upcoming midterm election in November, and, you know, I think probably a lot of Democratic politicians were thinking, oh, it's a phase. You know, they'll get over this. They'll recognize that, you know, they don't want to really go back to self-government and, you know, people doing for themselves. They really want, you know, Big Daddy looking over their shoulders taking care of them. Well, you know, each poll makes it look like this could be a historic tidal wave. And you know, I think that's going to be reflected on Election Day on November 2nd. And even though the Tea Party movement may not be as visible with the thousands of individual local rallies that, you know, we saw 6 months ago or a year ago, obviously people have not, you know, the polls show now that the Tea Party movement reflects a majority opinion in all the polls. That is very exciting stuff. And, you know, what we need to do, now that this brush fire has started across the nation, we need to pour gasoline on it. And we need to see that righteous fire clear away all this brush that's been growing and obscuring the American landscape that should be about freedom and liberty and individual rights.
Hmm. Where can we read more?
Well, I like to think that a good place to go is WND.com and the Michael Savage Show, the Savage Nation. That's where it's at. I think these are the last media battlegrounds, the last place you can turn for a truly a view of liberty, a perspective of accountability and representative government and all the things that America once stood for.
Joe Farah, thanks for being my guest on The Savage Nation.
Michael, great to be with you. God bless.
This nation will continue to be in trouble so long as these dictators in black robes continue to make up laws and try to control this country from the bench. Remember my motto going back 10 years? The stench from the bench is making me clench. I'll be right back.
Savage.
San Francisco listeners hear Michael Savage by tuning into 650 on the dial, just as clear, just as strong, or listen on the web on KSTE.com, 3 p.m. Pacific time, live every day. Every day, same show. And every day, some people continue to do what they do best, which is rape the system. Read this article, What Some Class Action Lawyers Do to American Businesses. You should see the press release about a class action litigator, Daniel Berger, joining a law firm. You'd think that it was the second coming of Jesus. Among just a few of his many successes, Mr. Berger, lawyer, class action lawyer, obtained the following recoveries in securities actions. He beat Bristol-Myers Squibb for $300 million, didn't produce so much as an aspirin. He beat Daimler Chrysler for $300 million, didn't produce so much as a hood ornament. He beat Conseco for $120 million. Symbol Technologies, $139 million. More? Senancorp, $3.3 billion taken by this wonderful, wonderful lawyer. He didn't produce so much as a semiconductor. He also played a central role in important discrimination class actions, including obtaining $175 million for a group of African-American employees of Texaco, Inc., who claimed that the energy giant was guilty of racial bias, meaning they were given jobs, and then they hired him to sue, saying they weren't turned into presidents right overnight. Therefore, it was racist. See the world you're living in? That's your class action lawyer, Daniel Berger. My only wish for Daniel Berger is that there's a God in heaven who sees what's going on and doesn't wait much longer to give him the justice he deserves. We'll keep talking about this and other topics on the show today, but let's stop for a minute. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent, conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today. My boat's been tied up in a boatyard for 3 weeks. I had a bottom paint job done and a stern thruster put on it. To be continued, I'll tell you that story one day. Let's put it to you this way. Don't ever do an aftermarket stern thruster. It's not that it was done wrong. It's like brain surgery. It's as though I went in for brain surgery. It's like dental work. Let's put it to you that way. No, it's worse than dental work. I don't know what it is. A boat is a very personal thing. You see the big whale out of the water having its tail cut open for 3 weeks now. I haven't had a boat. The head cold. But the dog is good. I took the dog for a ride. It's Teddy and I. We go for a ride. We talk. He's not a bad conversationalist. He listens. He doesn't answer back. He's my grand dog, we call him. A friend of mine said his dogs are his grand dogs. That's not a bad thing. You know my old joke. Anyways, I went to somewhere. It's an outdoor place somewhere near where I live. And there's a group of Brazilian people. God bless them. They brought their culture to America. Instead of they brought hate and bombs, they brought their love for dance and food and music. You know, various cultures come here, and they all seem to blend, get along, assimilate. One brings a cuisine. The other one brings a music. The other brings a literature. The other brings a sense of humor. Another brings a bomb job. Anyway, God bless the Brazilians. They brought their music. And they opened up a Latin music thing live at a normal hour, you know, like 4 o'clock. I don't ever go to these dances. They're on 10 o'clock. Who could go to those things? I don't understand who goes to a dance 10 o'clock at night. But I have friends my age. They go to dances 10 o'clock at night like they're 15 years old. Anyways, I go down there with Teddy. I sit outside, have a beer. So a young lady comes over and she says, Michael Savage, I love your show. You've kept me alive. You keep me going, blah, blah, blah. So I said, let me ask you something. I said, did you recognize me and my dog? She said, I recognized Teddy first. So I said, I figured so. I said, I figured you recognized Teddy first. They all know Teddy. I don't know how they know Teddy. Must be from that book, Psychological Nudity, where I put him on the cover of that book. All of those of you who bought it, you know what I'm talking about, is a little faith. So the dog is wonderful. It's a wonderful thing to have an animal like this. I don't know if they have like a... I think that the dog, sometimes I think the dog is like a dream catcher. You know how like the Native Americans, there was a big thing with dream catchers for a while. I know that that's paganism and all, but I believe in it. They put like feathers on it. Like in the Bay Area, if you drive around, they took off the St. Christopher medals that their grandfathers or fathers had on the dashboard. They drive around here with so much things hanging from the mirror, I don't know how they can drive. Between the crystals and the feathers hanging off a mirror in the average on the average San Francisco car, I don't know how they don't get into more accidents with what they have hanging there. It's like a rolling, I don't have the word, feathers and crystals and all sorts of voodoo things hanging off a mirror. But any reference to Christianity is gone. But in a society like this, it's nice to have a dog. So anyway, they believe in the dream catcher thing. And then they made the feathers, and then a dream catches a dream. All right, well, if it works, fine. I only wish someone got into my bed and caught my dreams for me one night so I can fall asleep and wake up feeling refreshed. I told you what goes on between my ears at night, I can make 6 movies by the morning. If I could attach a wire to my head and have it wired right into Steven Spielberg's camera, I mean, it would be a fabulous thing to watch these movies. Sound, color, 3D. It's got plots. It's got dialogue. I don't know where it comes from, but I'm like a vehicle for it, like a lightning rod. Here it comes. The movie's coming tonight. So anyway, if the dog maybe is a dream catcher, it would be wonderful, but I think I'd become his dream catcher. He lays at the foot of my bed, and I hear him moaning. I have to wake up and say, Teddy, don't worry, it's okay. If he was my dream catcher, it'd be another story. I'm my dog's dream catcher.
Like a baby in bed. They have emotions. It's amazing. How can you ever eat dog meat? I mean, thank God I don't live in Korea or northern China. I don't know how they could do it. Not all animals are the same. There are different levels of consciousness as there are in human beings. As you know, there's gradations. Oh, I know we're all equal. Yeah, we all vote. Even those who get the government aid get to vote themselves raises. Well, I sit and sweat my heart out 18 hours a day. We all vote. You know my feeling on that, don't you? I don't believe in it. I believe in order to vote, you should pay taxes. And I believe it should be a minimum of $1,000 a year in taxes in order to get the vote. That's right. Mark it down. That's what I said. That is correct. You don't pay taxes, you don't vote. How's that? Does that work for you? You want to save America? Change the voting rules in this country. No anchor babies, number one. That's A. B, no taxi, no votey. Does that work for you? But anyway, here we are. I mean, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. You get that one?
Savage.